RHI Entertainment presents a Silver Star Limited production in association with Larry Levinson Productions, Shark Swarm. A lecture takes place at the Northern Pacific University. One species among
millions. This is a fragile planet, and our actions can have grave consequences. Callous disregard for the environment brought us close to disaster. If we are not vigilant, if we do not learn from our mistakes, the next time we may not be so lucky.
On a boat, three men throw overboard several large metal barrels.
What, do you got a conscience now?
I'm just saying, we've been dumping this sludge out here all season, and no one's caught a damn thing. Wasn't that the point?
Come on, Tony, help.
As another barrel containing harmful waste sinks to the bottom of the ocean, swarms of sharks circle restlessly under the water. A fish is swallowed whole by a shark. Its path through the inside of the shark's body is followed. Starring Daryl Hannah, John Schneider, Armand Asante, Roark Critchlow, Heather McComb, John Enos III, Eugene Davis, Alan Fudge, June Squibb, Brent King, Mimi Michaels, Elisa Donovan, Darcy Rose Burns, Frank Severo, Raymond O'Connor, and F. Murray Abraham as Professor Girdler.
Head a little bit north of Spivey Point.
I thought we took care of Spivey Point.
If Lux says to dump more, we dump more. A couple more drops, and then I gotta bring the both of you into the dock.
Good. Because I'm beat.
Well, you're not done yet. I need you to go to the power plant and shut that valve off.
We just can't shut it off. And how are we supposed to dump that close to shore? People will see.
Doesn't matter. Lux has an inspector from the EPA coming in sometime next week. We can't afford to have anybody see what's going on down there. That plant's supposed to be closed.
Have you seen how much of that stuff is pumping through the pipe? And what happens if we can't shut it down at the plant?
Well, I guess you're going to have to get wet.
Come again?
He means you're going to have to weld that pipe shut.
But the water's bloody freezing down there.
Not my problem. Or get your buddy Weaver. I don't care. Whatever you got to do.
Audio described by Penelope Parisi on behalf of MCS Agency. Full Moon Bay, a picturesque hillside town situated around a small fishing bay on the Californian coast. Produced by Kyle Clark, Stephen Niver, written by David Rosiak and Matt Chernov, directed by James A. Contner. A tall blonde-haired lady exits her pretty detached house and gets into her Jeep. At the harbour, a blonde-haired man enters an office.
Good morning, Greg.
Danny, what do you need?
1,500 gallons.
1,500 it is.
A burly-looking black man comes up behind Dan with his order written on a slip of paper.
35,000 gallons. That's a lot of gas.
So? Thank you, Greg.
There you go.
Howdy, boss.
Well, good morning, Sleeping Beauty. You better put your game face on. It's a big ocean out there. We got a lot of fish to catch.
No more hauling in empty lines?
Oh, you have little faith. No, sir. Our luck is going to change today. I can feel it in my bones.
Well, I can't argue with a confident man.
Get the lines ready. I'll check the logbooks. We shove off in five.
You got it, boss. Hey, boss, come check this out.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan, up for another day of catching seaweed?
Well, good day to you too, Kane.
Well, what do you think about the new boat?
Beautiful. Hey, tell me something. What sort of a skill does a guy like you have that a guy like Lux could possibly need?
I guess you could say I'm a problem solver.
Yeah, well, you've always been the town's problem, so I guess that makes you qualified.
You know, when your boss goes belly up, they can always use another dishwasher down at the lobster house.
Look, if you and everybody else in this bay wants to sell off your property for a bunch of empty promises, go right ahead. Just leave me out of it.
All right. Give my best to the wife and kids.
Yeah, will do. See ya.
Howdy, Mr. Lux. Welcome back. How was your trip?
Not bad. Yeah, everyone's on board. My investors get in this week. You're gonna have to roll out your red carpet.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Nice car.
Thank you very much.
So where's Kane?
Beats me. I know he was out on that big boat of his this morning.
Mr. Lux and the sheriff go inside the Kane Company fishery office.
Hey, babe.
Hey. Speak of the devil.
Hey. Hello.
Sweetheart, I need to talk to you, Mom. My office.
Okay. Hey.
Hello, little lady.
Dan kisses his wife.
Hey, wrap it up, you two.
Hey. We're talking here. Go away.
I'm late for work, and you're getting engine grease on my shirt.
Oh, God. Hey, listen. You're here. Mm-hmm. Has to be a reason. What's your agenda?
Lux's lawyer dropped off another copy of the contract.
All right. I'll file it with the other ones.
He puts the brown envelope on a pile of identical unopened letters.
Gentlemen, sorry I'm late.
So how's the fish?
Bay's dry as a bone. In fact, tonight, I plan on personally eating the last piece of salmon in town. You know, I ran into Dan Wilder today. He doesn't seem too thrilled.
No? You just gotta turn him around.
In the grounds of the Northern Pacific University, a man rummages through his pockets looking for his mobile.
On the deed too. I got my letter yesterday.
Yeah, listen, I think you and I need to sit down and talk about this.
I got classes all day.
You want to meet at Cappy's?
All right, I'll see you there.
See ya.
Two men sit together in a small motorboat.
Another beautiful Sunday. Could be at home, watching the game, enjoying my day. Here I am.
Look, here's something I know for sure, okay? Lux is gonna look after us. He's done it before, he'll do it again.
Yeah, well, he better look after us, because I tell you what, after this, I'm not so sure I want to work for him anymore.
Stop complaining. We're gonna need to weld it shut from this end. Time to get wet.
Yeah, I get it. Let's do it.
With its wetsuit on and breathing apparatus ready, the man launches himself into the water.
Ben, as soon as you hit bottom, it's sticking out of the wall.
I can't see anything. Damn, this current's strong. You know, this is a four-man job. Here we are, cutting safety corners again with me in the water.
Oh, relax, will ya? Lux has got it covered.
What if this gives me cancer or makes me grow another arm or something, huh?
Relax, will ya?
All right, here we go. I see it.
Good. You know what to do. Seal it with the torch.
Damn, this is tight.
Ah, put your back into it.
The sound of weaver banging attracts sharks in the nearby waters. They swim close to the surface of the water, adjacent to the boat.
Hey, wait. Keep your eyes peeled down there, okay? Hey, weaver. Hey, weaver!
There's something in the water!
Alright.
Hey, he returns to see dozens of sharks heading straight towards him. The tentacle swims up to the surface of the water.
Come on, please! Come on! Oh, wait! Oh, wait.
As his colleague attempts to pull him on board the boat, he's snatched away by the hungry sharks.
Hey, people. Last week, we were discussing the ecological impact of oil spills on the California coastline. Look at Mother Nature on the run in the 1970s. Some of these dump sites remain contaminated to this day. Fishermen are still finding aquatic mutations up and down the coast as a result of this. Despite heightened environmental standards and practices, we're still in the cleanup phase of this crisis.
Because of incidents like the one that occurred with our own power plant,
there are toxins and pathogens in every ocean on this planet. They're creating an environment that not only threatens some species with extinction, but causes unpredictable behavior patterns in marine life as it struggles to adapt to these changing conditions. The entire food chain can be completely altered.
Finish line! Good job, good job, good job! Oh, good job, good job, good job! See you Friday!
A swimming lesson takes place in the sea.
Hey, Heather. Your mom's running a little late, I guess. Don't you want to at least try to get wet?
It's scary out there.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. How about if you just got your feet wet? Would that be okay? I promise it won't kill you.
The young girl nods her head. Into the water. Looking over her shoulder, she sees the fins of the sharks approaching.
Heather! Get out of the water! No!
Oh, there you are, sweetie.
Look at you, you're all wet.
You can show off your new swimming skills at the beach party tomorrow morning. Okay, Ralph? Yeah, I'm just picking her up now. We'll be right there.
Mom, there's something
that... Come on, kiddo, we're running way behind.
Yeah, sorry. I need to ask you a favor. You need more drinks for tomorrow?
Mom, swim in the water.
Heather, Mama's on the phone. Could you please go to the
car? Mom!
Heather, I said hush.
But Mom!
I said hush. Yeah, there's going to be a lot more people than I thought.
Yeah.
It's no use, Nick. There's nothing down here to catch, man. We're just wasting gas. Look, I said give up. And go drown our sorrows, hmm?
Okay, you're probably right. We'll anchor here tonight, we'll go back in the morning. But meanwhile, I need another beer.
Man, there's no more beer.
I just remembered I have some very fine Irish whiskey down below.
Ah, the big guns. Now you're talking, man. I'll secure the anchor.
I'll meet you down below.
Throw that salt board. There we go.
Hurry up, George!
Yeah!
To the absent fishes!
I think you had too much, but here, have some more.
Can you imagine waking up in the morning? And that's as good as you're going to feel all day? I tell you, Nick, I just don't understand people.
Well, for what it's worth, they don't understand you either.
And that's an even keel.
What the hell was that?
Could be the Irish kicking in. But it's probably just some dumb cross-eyed tuna. As big as a house, but they can't see 2 feet in front of them. You know, one time off the coast of Monterey, I mean,
The boat jolts to one side.
What is it?
It's too dark. I can't make it out.
Go get the light and hurry up.
Yeah.
A large shark circles the boat.
Go! Nick! Nick! Where are you? I'll get the rope!
The rope snaps. The boom swings round, knocking George overboard.
George! George!
George! One disturbed boat, Nick frantically treads water. He then disappears as he is sucked under the water. At the university.
Hey, Professor Girdley, you wanted to see me?
Yes, Philip. I've been meaning to discuss your plans for the coming semester.
Oh, look at that. Hmm? That is so cool.
My dad was into nautical history. He kind of got me hooked on this stuff.
Mm. Oh, this stuff is fantastic.
And the miracle of the microprocessor has made it all virtually obsolete.
Oh.
Why keep a few things around? For nostalgia's sake.
Chingowie.
But I'm still doing new research every day. I need modern tools for that. In fact, I have just gained net access to a new satellite monitoring system developed by NASA. I'm hoping to use it to research the Full Moon Bay coastal waters.
Professor, you hacked the government satellite system.
Come, walk with me. There's something I have to show you.
Kane and Lux walk along a pier.
No property, there's no views. No views, I'll lose my investors.
Enough people looking out a luxury window, staring out over a bait shop.
Right? Look, you know, I gotta find another angle. And
you know, people have a price. You know, I have a price, you have a price, he has a price. I pay a premium for your price, in fact. Well, your job is to find his. Okay? I got another price.
She looks expensive. I leave you two alone.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi.
You miss,
Zuckerman, I'm with the EPA.
Forgive me, I know what I say. I'm Ham. Hamilton Lux.
Yeah, kind of figured. You're the only guy here who's not actually working. Well, I'm ready to get my hands dirty. How about you?
Here we are. This is what I wanted to show you.
Oh, it's a lovely view, Professor, but I've seen it before. I grew up in this town.
Yes, I know. Philip, I am about to embark on a definitive study of the waters and coastal environment of Full Moon Bay. It may be my last major work of research. With a new satellite monitoring system, I can do most of the work myself, but I need someone who's familiar with the region to work in the field. I want this to be my legacy to the university, and I'd like you to collaborate with me on it.
I'd be honored.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd also like to incorporate as much historical perspective as possible. Have you any other family who might be interested?
Oh, Dan, my brother. Oh, he's definitely the guy. He knows more about these waters than anyone in town.
He sounds like the man. Tell me about him.
Well, he's a big brother. He can be cruel and taunting.
Well, I'll give you limited access. I don't want you still in a tow or anything.
I'll need to see your environmental compliance reports, your building permits, and construction records as well.
Yeah, well, I'm going to show you everything. Everything I have is running above board here.
Of course, but you understand that's a determination I have to make by myself, right?
Yeah, I got nothing to hide.
Then you have no problem getting those records, right?
Not at all.
Never ever been so sparse this far north.
No.
There's another one. You wouldn't eat that. Would you eat that?
No.
Dan cuts open a rotten fish. Clint holds his hand over his nose due to the stench from the fish.
Brenda that well. No, I want to keep these, all of them.
Temperature's dropping.
Yeah, there's a storm coming.
You want to head back?
No, take us up further north.
Captain.
Dan looks frustrated as he picks up one of his catch. He examines its rotten flesh.
Is that what you're looking for?
I mean, there's a
a listing for a building just down the ridge from here, but I'm not sure what it is.
That's the old power plant. The power plant. The one over here on Hartscrabble Road. Where is it? I'm tearing it down, building a golf course. I mean, that thing is so antiquated.
I still need to see the safety records on that as well.
Yeah, but it's completely irrelevant.
Sorry. Still gotta see it.
That's ancient history. It's not even operational. All right. I'm gonna be sitting in town hall for the next 25 years. All right.
Better get busy.
Hey, boss! Come check it out! Might be a whaler.
No, that's Nick Atkins' boat. Run me up alongside, slow and steady. I want to take a look.
Boss, what's going on?
I wish I knew. Nick? Ahoy, Nick, it's Dan Wilder. Permission to come aboard? Run it quiet, I'm going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, set up a meeting with that Wilder's wife. I want to see if she's got more business sense than he does.
I'm on it.
Dan jumps onto the deck of Nick's empty boat.
Making a lot of fuel down here. Smell it. That's even worse.
Below deck, Dan reaches his hand into a bucket of water.
Oh, gee. Fisherman, you're not supposed to be afraid of a bucket of crabs. Huh. Fuel pump's all screwed up. Not going anywhere right now. It's flooded. She's dragging anchor, probably been all around the bay.
Should we try and tow her in?
Nah, my butt would never handle it. We'd probably both sink. Look, I tell you what. I'm gonna stay here. You go on back to town and get some help. I'll be all right.
She's taking in water. That's risky.
Now, believe me, I spent the night on worse wrecks than this one.
You know, you need a new bulb. Your outside light's broken. If I was your husband, I'd be worried about you alone out here at night.
It's not safe.
Thank you for your concern. I feel perfectly safe. But if you've got something to say, you can say it to my husband.
I do have a message.
Like I said, if you've got something to say, you can talk about it with Daniel.
The message is for you, Brooke.
And the message is?
Hamilton Lex would like you to join him for lunch tomorrow at his office.
Why me?
Why not you? What do you got to lose?
Hey, Mom. We all closed up?
Hi, babe.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's all right. Your mom and I were just having a little one-on-one time. So, Mr. Lex will be waiting.
You didn't even compliment my new hairdo.
Mom, I noticed. I just didn't know what to say. I mean, it's starting to worry me. You're getting so pretty. You're gonna have boyfriends younger than me pretty soon.
Hey.
Hey.
What can I get you?
A beer, please. Something local.
Amy selects a track on the jukebox. Philip wanders over to join her.
DJ?
Yes, DJ Amy.
Straight chilling, yo. So, MC Amy, I'm about to leave, and I thought maybe you could pick me a theme song, you know, something to exit by.
Oh, why don't you go sit with your grandma? I'll be right there, okay? I still don't know your name.
How about I tell you tomorrow? Same time, same place.
Oh, no!
Sorry.
Night.
Hey.
Hey, Philip, you leaving already?
Yeah, I gotta teach in the morning, you know, mold those young minds. Don't want to be too hungover for that.
No, I guess not.
Mom's still here, though, so.
You seen Dan?
Nah, he was supposed to meet me here, but he hasn't showed yet. If he does, tell him I was here, okay?
Bye.
See ya.
Roy, give me a hand, would you? Tie this sucker up.
Arriving back at the harbor, P Clint runs across the dockside and into the bar.
The guy's wife is having lunch with his girlfriend.
Daniel's in trouble.
What?
We found Nick's boat that was abandoned. He's still out there. We have to get help right now.
Clint, slow down. Where is Daniel?
Okay.
Give me the coordinates. I'll go get him.
Fine. I'm going with you.
It's all right. I got Tony.
Yeah, I'm still going, all right?
I'm coming too. Clint! Oh, my God.
I'm sure that everything will be fine.
Now, where's that flare gun?
Come on, Dan.
I saw a flare gun.
Dan finds a flare gun.
Sore eyes. It's been a heck of a night.
The Coast Guard's on their way. They're gonna start looking for the guys at dawn.
Well, they won't have to look far. I found part of Nick on his boat.
Mark, about Nick?
Yeah.
Sorry. What do you mean?
I'm sorry to hear about Nick.
Sorry, boss. He insisted.
Hope I didn't make you look like too much of a wuss in front of your old lady. Somebody had to save you.
It's, listen, Kane. Something's going on out there. Something's not right. Even you can see that, huh?
The way I see it, the mess you got yourself into tonight was your own damn fault. Now, if you get with the program, you wouldn't have to be out here on these old wrecks.
Old wrecks? I'll tell you what, my old wreck will pull in more fish in one day than your barge will pull in a week.
You should be grateful that I came all the way out here to save you.
The next day, Amy is on a deserted beach collecting water samples near the Full Moon Bay power plant. Barefooted, she strides into the sea.
Funny, the governor of California, he once said to me, he said, Ham, he said, what's your favorite word? Your favorite word in the English language? And I hesitated a second, and I said, well, gee, it has to be neighbor. And he said, why? I said, I don't know. I think neighbor just, it symbolizes to me what's great about community. And it stands for a certain kind of selflessness, a kind of generosity of spirit, and a kind of awareness that I have seen and experienced every day here among the people of Full Moon Bay. And if I could be so bold now, I would like to ask your permission to become your full-time resident here.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. I was under the impression we're here to discuss potential right. development of our community and its...
Dan Wilder, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Now. Sure.
I would simply like to know if anyone in this room has even bothered to look at the plans this man has put forth before the committee. Clarence, you're the mayor. Have you looked at the plans? Has anyone looked at the plans to see that what he wants to do is take away everything that makes our community what it is today? He's treating our bay as if it's some sort of a store on the side of the road that's gone out of business and now he wants to have a fire sale. Everything must go. That's what he's doing.
Everyone here today is in agreement that we're all just trying to resuscitate Full Moon Bay.
I realize you're used to speaking on behalf of everyone in the room, but why don't we let somebody else speak? Certainly someone else in this room has got an opinion other than me. Thank you, Dave. Thank you. Let's hear it.
Sit down.
We've been waiting all our lives for this kind of windfall. Danny. You're taking money out of our pockets.
Frankie, I'm not taking money out of your pockets.
Guys,
I'm trying to make sure the money stays in your pocket where it belongs.
Guys,
could we please conduct this meeting in a more civil tone? Dan, let me clarify something, all right? Everyone who signs on to the project now, all right? Everyone here, they stand to gain.
We stand to gain.
We stand to gain in jobs.
You stand to gain.
We stand to gain in infrastructure. And possibly a new future. Dan, these plans cannot be implemented now. They cannot be implemented without your signature. Your property sits right in the heart
of what we're trying to accomplish. We know your signature.
I know
that
my signature.
Your signature requires a sacrifice.
Sign the paper.
We stand by you in that sacrifice.
Can you let my brother say something?
Dan?
My name's on that deed, too. If I don't sign it, are you going to send people to threaten me as well?
Surely a compromise can be reached. Won't you boys just consider it?
This is not...
What?
We can't be talking... No, you don't understand. This man is waving dollar bills in front of your faces for now, for today. Nobody's read the plans. You signed them. You got them, you signed them. You're good little doggies. Good for you. Thank you very much. He's talking about the future. It's going to happen in the future. He doesn't care about our future. Didn't care about our legacy. He wants to take the property, bulldoze it down, build up his condominium, sell them, and get the hell out of Dodge. Listen to what this man is saying.
I think everyone here then wants to move Full Moon Bay into the 21st century in the spirit of, in brotherhood.
Oh my God.
Some of us like our town fine the way it is.
Some of us don't care what you think.
Everyone in this room received an envelope like this at your house. Everyone in this room, except for me and my brother, signed the contract without reading it. I'll show you what you needed to do with your contract. You needed to do exactly what I'm doing with mine.
That is exactly what I'm talking about. That is a document.
You're not getting
that's
my
the
promise.
Only thing we have asked of you, Dan. This is the only thing we have asked of you.
What happened to the word neighbor?
Dan, you can't go storming off every time something doesn't go your way.
Did you
way.
See what he did to me in there? He turned me into the bad guy right in front of the whole town.
Well, getting angry just plays right into his hands.
Well, what am I supposed to do? I'm open to suggestions. Please, advise me.
Stop acting so childish.
that's great.
She's got a point. I mean, look at Lux. He plays it cool, and he's got the whole town eating out of his hand.
Lux played it fine. Now you're on his side.
I am...
Clint, you gonna stand there looking at me all day, or are we going to work?
Amy pulls up in her car at the entrance to the power plant. Getting out of her car, she peers through the tall mesh gates. She unsuccessfully tries to open the gates before walking along the perimeter of the plant. Around the top of the high fencing runs three rows of barbed wire. Amy's studying it when Kane creeps up behind her.
You with something?
Yeah, actually, I was looking for Lux, but I can't find him anywhere. Do you think you could take me to him? Please?
I'll drive.
Thank you.
A young woman is canoeing in the calm sea. She stops paddling to take a sip of water from a bottle when the paddle is knocked out of her hand. Beneath the boat, sharks circle and strike the underneath of a small rubber canoe, knocking the woman into the water. Panicking, she tries to scramble back onto the capsized canoe, but to no avail. A hammerhead shark drags her with flailing arms beneath the water.
Go on vacation yet, or are we gonna work all day today too?
It's hard to say. I found some problems.
Oh. Your supervisor said this was just a routine formality.
Regardless of who your friends are, Mr. Lux, I'm still gonna hold you the letter of the law.
I thought you were the last influential friend I had.
I'll be done when I'm done, okay?
You're the boss.
Thank you.
Lux looks anxious as Amy walks off.
What?
Nick Atkins' boat is towed back to the shore by the U.S. Coast Guards.
Almost lost you last night.
But you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Well, no, but I wouldn't mind a day off if that's what you mean.
Would you look at that?
They inspect the hole in the boat.
Ah! What is it?
Dan cuts his hand on a shark's tooth, wedged into the hole in the hull of Nick's boat.
That came right out of the mouth of a porker. I'd bet my boat on it.
The big one he couldn't handle?
Nick's a fisherman born and bred. There's hardly anything out there he couldn't handle. Besides, damage like this couldn't be done by one fish.
Maybe two.
Maybe 10. Philip! Excuse me.
Can I help you?
Yeah, I'm looking for Philip. Philip Wilder.
You look a little old to be a student.
No offense.
None taken. Philip's my brother.
Yes, I see the resemblance now. He's spoken of you. You're the fisherman.
Guilty.
Saltwater seems to course through your family's veins. I'm Bill Girdler.
Daniel Wilder.
Philip should be just finishing up a lecture. Follow me.
Sure. Thank you.
Chapters 8 through 10 for Monday, people. There will be a quiz, as in Inquisition. Have a lovely weekend.
Your brother is a born teacher.
Thanks.
Have a nice weekend.
Look, something really bad happened to Nick Atkins. I need you to come out and check out his boat.
Now?
Yeah, now. Come on.
No, I have classes all afternoon.
Tell me something. You ever see one of these?
Yeah, but never that big.
Uh-huh.
I got half an hour for lunch. My office is just up here. What the heck happened to Nick's boat?
I don't know. Something bit it.
An old man with his dog uses a metal detector on a beach.
Right. I think we got something, Maggie. Right. Buy the groceries. Yeah. Rusty Spoon ain't gonna pay our bills, Maggie. No, sirree. What you got there, girl?
His dog runs off along the beach to sniff at shark carcasses washed up on the sand. Checking to see if it is dead, the man kicks one of the sharks.
Hey, now that's a fine, Maggie. That is a fine.
The man kneels down beside the head of one of the sharks. It has a silver hip flask clenched between its razor-sharp teeth. As he tries to maneuver the flask free, the shark bites down on his arm.
Rock and roll.
Here comes my favorite local.
Hey, Kim.
Do you guys ever do anything besides surf?
Not really.
No.
Why, what'd you have in mind?
I don't know. You decide. Yeah, that's what I thought you might say. Oh, I know this dog. Hey, Maggie. Hey, Matt. It's loud.
That can't be good.
Maggie!
Kim runs after the dog along the beach to find its master with his arm bitten off.
Oh my God. Oh my God! Ow!
You'll be okay. You'll be okay.
The tooth from the hull of the boat doesn't look anything like this.
Well, that's because, Dan, this is from a tiger shark, and this is from a great white. Now, just bear with me. How many of these did you find?
A lot.
And were they all this size?
Yes.
Okay, that means that your shark is three times the size of this one. It's a big fish.
Yeah, sweetheart. Well, hang on. Where are you? I'll be right there.
What is it?
It's Kim. She said something about sharks.
That shotgun.
Make sure no one steals my metal detector! Maggie! Where's Maggie?
Kim?
Dad?
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just a little scared.
What happened?
This old guy Al just got his hand bitten off by a shark.
Is he okay?
Yeah, he's gonna live next to Kim here. She tied his arm off, helped stop the blood flow.
Yeah, great. Who are you?
Dad, this is my friend Chris.
Pleased to meet you.
Daughter's a real hero.
Yeah, thanks.
Daniel, I'm just gonna go check out the sharks.
Philip crouches down by the side of one of the maroon sharks when Amy comes up behind him.
Hey.
Hey.
DJ Amy.
Actually, it's Amy Zuckerman. I'm with the EPA.
Really?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Philip Wilder. I work up at the university. Oceanic Studies.
Oh, I heard about your program.
Really? What are you doing around here?
Actually, I was just collecting some water samples up the way, and I came across this and just had to check it out.
Well, hey, you want to check it out a little more with me up at the lab?
Really?
I mean, I'm going to have to do autopsies on these, and I thought maybe you might like to join me.
Well, after that town meeting, I wasn't quite sure you'd even show.
Neither was I, but frankly, Mr. Lex, you've been hounding us for so long, I figure I'd like to hear what you have to say.
This is excellent. I certainly need your help here.
My help?
Please, sit.
No, thanks.
You know, I think I tried to appeal to Dan's sense of fair play. He continues to see me as some kind of a villain.
Well, Dan can be a bit hot-headed, but he's a pretty good judge of character.
That's a relief. I wrote a number down here. I think you'd find that more than reasonable. If you'd indulge me, I just want to show you something.
I want to show you the projections on the final phase of this development here.
I don't even recognize it.
It's the idea.
Anyway, these are oceanfront luxury condos. Approximately 4,500 square foot each. 400 yards from the promontory, overlooks the sea. And
I just wish you'd take two. One for you and Dan. Take another for your daughter, your mom, or mother.
This conversation?
It's over. Brooke tips over the model of the development, then storms out of Lux's office. Scuba divers on a boat.
Don't lose sight of your buddy no matter what. This water can get mean if you're not careful. And don't be shy if you get scared down there. Just tug on the line if you need me. All right? All right, let's get going.
The divers and their instructor sit on the edge of the boat, place their masks over their faces, then one by one, topple over backwards into the ocean. The instructor leads the way down towards the seabed. His pupils attached to a line follow on behind him. They signal okay to one another, then continue swimming in the dark and murky waters. Air bubbles trace a path back to the surface. Suddenly, they are surrounded by masses of hungry sharks, twisting and turning around them in the water. The first victim is whisked away in the jaws of an enormous shark, then another, until only two remain. The man and the woman swim frenziedly for the surface. Still attached by a line and being slowed down by his female companion, the man cuts the line with his knife, leaving her to face her fate. The man finally manages to reach the surface of the water by the boat, when the sharks drag him away.
Pollution levels in the bay, they've gone up so much in the last few weeks. Send a sample of this to the university lab. Get them to analyze it.
So tell me about the beach bug. Seems
like a nice enough kid. Boy, well, a nice enough young man.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I mean, I just met him. I like him.
You like him? Great.
I gotta tell you, you look really hot in that smock.
Are you kidding? I am covered in shark blood.
Well, yeah, but I'm a marine biologist. That kind of thing turns me on, you know?
Honestly, do you ever stop flirting?
Not when you're around.
Excuse me, Dr. Wilder. Here's the preliminary toxicology report on that blood sample.
Great. Phosphorus.
We should have the final results by morning.
Thank you.
Okay, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
How does a dead shark bite off somebody's hand?
It can't.
But it did.
I know.
I mean, I've seen similar things happen, but it's when the shark's been fresh hooked, you know, it's still twitching. I mean, this guy had been dead hours before he took that old man's hand off.
Did the brain look weird to you?
Yeah, the electrosensory organs were abnormally enlarged. Again, I've seen similar mutations in fish we've been pulling out of the bay in the last few weeks, but nothing so extreme.
You know what it looked like? It looked like a fried circuit board.
Okay, so sharks use their electrosensory organs to hunt with, right?
Yeah, like shark sonar.
Right, okay, so what if we were to shut off the sonar?
Yeah, but how?
Give me a second, okay? I'm gonna make a call.
Okay.
Brooke tends to the wound on Dan's hand.
Poor Al. Can't believe it.
There's more. I found this. In a big hole in the hull of Nick Atkins' boat this morning.
I heard it was just an accident.
No accident.
Dan, what's going on?
I don't know. Phil's gonna check it out and call me if he finds anything.
Oh, now you're starting to scare me. With everything that's happened today and my meeting with Lux.
What? Your meeting with Lux?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to tell you about. He made an offer to buy us out.
Hang on a second, bro. You had a meeting with Lux and you didn't tell me anything about it.
I'm telling you now.
Nah, thanks.
Dan, it's not what you think.
Yeah, well, I've heard enough.
Dan!
You have no idea what I think, Brooke. It's not right.
Damn it.
Those enlarged sensory organs gave me an idea.
I'm listening.
You ever hear of a pulse gun?
No, uh-uh.
That makes sense, actually. The Navy's been developing them. They're kind of secret, but I got to use one last semester when I was teaching ocean geography. Thing is they blast out an ultrasonic pulse to find undersea caverns.
Okay.
What if we blast their sensory organs with an electromagnetic pulse?
Oh, we'd scramble the circuit board.
Maybe, or might even reset the sonar altogether.
Maybe. But what if we're wrong?
Well, what have we got to lose?
Where's the fire?
Where's your boss?
Slow down, Dan.
Fine, you turned my wife against me. I hope you're happy with that.
You know, I think the denizens in this town turned against you, Danny boy.
The denizens? Well, you're not even fit to own a doghouse in this town.
I'm gonna drag this baby to the future kicking and screaming if I have
to. Good talking to you, Dan.
Lux and Kane give Dan a warning look before walking off.
Hey, Philip, it's Amy. Listen, I'm at the old power plant checking something out. I'll call you if I find anything. Okay, bye.
In the dead of night, Amy climbs over the fence at the power plant. She jumps down onto a barrel, then to the ground. She takes a set of floor plans out of her bag, studies them using her torch, then heads for a door with signs on it reading, "No trespassing, keep out," and "Dangerous chemicals." Once inside, she shines her torch around the plant room, then reconsults her floor plans. Spooked by a noise, she vacates the room and the plant. She makes her way to the water's edge, where she leans forward on the rocks to take another water sample. A shark glides by just under the surface of the water. Losing her footing on the rocks, she topples into the water. Coming back up to the surface of the water, she gasps for air, then deliberately takes a large breath and bobs back down under the water, where she sees the sharks swarming around her. Panicking, she swims frantically for the water's edge, where Philip is on hand to help her out of the water.
Okay. I got your message on the phone. What the heck are you doing out here? This is crazy.
I'm okay.
Hey, listen. We gotta get you warm. Take you back to my place, okay? Dry you up, warm you up.
He wraps his jacket around her shoulders. Lux, in his office, pushes a parcel across his desk to Kane.
That's stellar.
Yeah, Mr. Lux. We've got a break-in at the power plant.
Nah, the EPA agent. She was sniffing around there earlier.
Just lock it up.
Post more guards.
Okay.
Sounds like you got more enemies than you thought.
Towel drying her hair, Amy sits feet up under a blanket on Philip's sofa. Philip brings her a drink.
I shouldn't really.
Strictly medicinal. Doctor's orders, you know.
I don't know if what you did tonight was brave or stupid.
Lux lied to me.
Okay, so what are you gonna do about it?
I'm gonna deny him the government permits that he needs until we determine what he's really up to. And if he's not on the level, then I'll report him to the state's environmental board and every other agency that'll listen.
All right, and he's gonna come after you with both guns blazing.
That's remarkable. You say there were dozens of them. How were they moving?
In a single school, textbook pack behavior, coordinated attack patterns.
Were you able to determine the species?
No. I'm sorry, I was too busy screaming like a girl.
Wait a minute, no, we did. We got a great white tooth out of the hull of Nick Atkins' boat.
Now that's odd. Great whites are solitary creatures. They're apex predators.
Yeah, but we've been studying sharks for decades. You still can't be sure how they're gonna react in any given situation.
I got back the data on your autopsy samples. Very strange. There were high amounts of phosphorus. That's a fish killer. Vast quantities of this could clear out the bay and utterly destroy the fishing trade.
Yeah, that'll just help Lux.
There's one more thing. A heavy dose of this, combined with a lack of fish, could inexorably alter the food chain and trigger a hunting craze among these sharks. Possibly multi-swarm.
Professor Girdler works on his computer as Dan and Philip watch over his shoulder.
What is that?
Those are our sharks. They're moving together as if with hive mentality.
Yeah, and they're heading straight for the beach. That's Spivey Point.
My lord. With all those people there, there's gonna be a massacre.
How long before they get there, you suppose?
Oh, 30 minutes. 40 at the outside.
Gotta go. Dan.
Yeah, take my boat. It's faster.
Right.
Grab the pulse guns. They're right there.
Got it.
Stay in contact.
Yeah.
I'll monitor the satellite link and keep you posted on the swarm's movement and location.
Gotcha. What am I doing standing here? I'm gonna go too. I'll keep in touch on the walkie-talkie.
Hurry.
Clint and Dan frantically untie their boat from its moorings.
Start us up. I'll push us out.
Next stop, Spivey Point.
Garland, do you read? We're on the water now. I'm thinking we're
10 minutes out of Spivey Point. Give me an estimation of how long before the swarm's gonna be there. Over.
You know, it'd be nice if you give me some indication that you read me. Do you read me? Over.
Lifeguard on the beach stares out to sea, looking at all the people in the water.
Keep her steady.
Philip steers the boat towards the beach as Dan moves forward to the bow of the boat. Dozens of sharks patrol the waters beneath them.
Sharks in the water! Get everybody out of the water! Come on! Out!
The lifeguard shouts desperately at the people in the water. They swim at top speed, trying to flee the ferocious predators. leaves the boat. Dan falls into the water. Grabbing hold of a railing on the front of the boat, he tries to pull himself back on board. Hanging from the bow of the boat, Dan pulls a pulse gun out of his pocket. Losing his grip, he falls backwards into the water. The sharks rapidly approach from all directions. Dan fires the gun at them. Miraculously, they retreat, swiftly disappearing into the dark waters. Lux and Sheriff Murray watch the commotion from the beach.
What's happening here?
Nothing.
Well, nobody got eaten, right? So it was a freak accident.
Well, I assure you it wasn't a shark attack. Just a few people in a panic is all.
A few people in a panic? You see what's happening here,
hey,
Lux?
Nobody here is getting on a soapbox.
You're a waste of time.
Murray, what the...
Danny.
No, I'm not all right.
Hey, you're back, huh? We wonder what happened to you.
What is that supposed to mean?
Is your job at the ETA, does that require you to sleep with everyone here in town? Or do you just limit yourself to the Wilder brothers?
Hey, whoa,
spy on me all you want. I will never grant you the permits you need.
Well, thanks for the clothes. I'll return them. Thanks for the scotch.
Hey, this is for you. You're a real hero out there.
Yeah, I didn't feel like a real hero.
This is to you.
Thank you.
Lux wasn't kidding. I've been pulled off the job. He played me since the moment I arrived. I underestimated him.
We all did.
Nighttime. Lux sits at his desk in his dimly lit office. The sheriff sits opposite him.
Your security tight?
I got security handled.
My investors are here tomorrow.
Well, you got a bigger problem, and it flows out of that power plant of yours.
Well, it's been taken care of.
Whatever you say.
Lux hands the smug-looking sheriff a check. Dan's at the dock when he notices a truck pull up containing two men. Another man meets them as they get out of the vehicle. An envelope containing a large wad of notes is exchanged. The man slides the cash into his inner jacket pocket. At the rear of the truck, three large barrels are lowered to the ground on a hydraulic platform. Dan hides out of sight as he spies on the men's suspicious activities. He then tries to reach his wife on his cell phone.
My battery's about to die. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to call Sheriff Murray and tell him to get down to the dock right away. No, I can't. Brooke, I can't explain right now. I love you. Just do it. Call Murray now.
What?
Evening, Kane. I thought you'd like to know. I just got a call from Wilder's old lady. She demanded that I get down to the dock on the double.
What for?
Suspicious activity. She says that Daniel's down there right now witnessing it himself.
Witnessing what?
You tell me.
Tony's got a shipment coming in tonight.
What do you think Daniel Wilder saw?
It's not gonna matter what he saw.
Brooke comes out of a bar alone.
Where are you going, Brooke?
It's none of your business.
Oh, well, we're just going to take a little ride. It's in your best interest to come willingly, but I'm good either way.
No, thank you.
He's knocking at the door!
Shut her up! Let's go.
I see you calm down. That's good. There's no use in fighting.
So you've resorted to kidnapping. You think you're gonna get away with this?
So the tough girl routine's giving me a headache.
Just wait until Dan finds out.
I plan on Dan finding out.
You know what? I feel sorry for you. You're a weak man.
I'm a weak man?
Mm-hmm.
Push me, and I can make this a family affair.
What?
Little Kimmy's becoming quite the looker. Yeah. No, everything's going according to plan. I'll call you when it's done. Tomorrow's gonna be a blast. Keep an eye on her.
That ought to hold her. Got a whole new respect for this tub. Honestly, I don't think I'd want to drive another boat.
Ah! Whoa! You didn't ask for permission.
Permission for what?
Permission to come aboard. It's customary for a guest to ask the captain's permission when they want to come aboard his vessel.
Well, what are you going to do about it? Hit a girl?
Why will it hurt somebody?
Morning, Dan.
This is between Lux and I. She's got nothing to do with it, and neither do you.
Give her the gun.
You all right, baby?
Yeah, she's just peachy. Permission to come aboard, Captain.
Permission granted.
Get on the boat. Tony, get the lines.
And in the spirit of that adventure, I just want to propose a toast to not just adventure, but to our solidarity.
To adventure and solidarity.
Here, here.
To solidarity.
Here, here.
Tell me, Hamilton, how do you do it? How do you make all this work look so easy? Huh? The only thing that I've been guided to and allowed myself to be guided by is the creative spirit. I don't mean to sound pompous, but I mean that.
Well then, to imagination and windfall profits for generations.
Here, here.
Hey, Clint! See Kane's boat up there? That looks a lot like that rocket boat we saw in the magazine, doesn't it?
You feel lucky today, boss?
Oh, yeah. Today's our lucky day. I can feel it in my bones.
Dan cradles the dying Clint in his arms and kisses him on the forehead. Kane steers Dan's fishing boat alongside his impressive boat.
Tony, grab that line. All right, everybody off. Now. Come on, move.
As Dan and Brooke are forced at gunpoint onto Kane's boat, Tony throws Clint's body overboard.
You know, Dan, all this talk about sharks has given me a fun new idea. Shall we?
Ah, oh, Kane, don't do this.
Just get in the cage.
Dan and Brooke are forced into a cage.
Get that, Tony. Get the crane. She's putting a bolt in. That way you have some choices. First one. Swallow as much water as you can and try to drown. That way when the sharks eat you, you'd already be dead. Or you could try to hold your breath and undo the bolt. But then the sharks will eat you alive. But I don't really care. The choice is yours. Any last words, Dan?
Yeah, I got some last words. You're not going to get away with this.
Is that the best you can do?
This isn't over.
Give me that. Your buddy Clint was just an appetizer. They're going to love you and that wife of yours.
That'll give our little Finn friend something to chew on. I wonder what it's going to feel like when they start eating you alive.
Keep the pressure on.
All right, take him up, Tony. It's bleeding all over my boat.
Oh, What are we gonna do?
Don't worry about it. I know this kid.
Bon appetit.
Bye-bye.
Dan and Brooke cling on to one another as the cage is raised from the deck and slowly lowered into the shark-infested waters.
Bye-bye, Danny boy.
With the water up to their waists, they take a large gulp of air and hold their breath as the cage is fully submerged into the sea. From out of the shadows, the sharks start to swim over to the cage. Dan squeezes blood out of the wound on his arm. Then with all his might, he kicks open the cage door. He signals to Brooke to swim out. He then follows on behind her. Brooke reaches the surface of the water, gasping for air, followed by Dan, who hides by the side of the boat. Tony leads over the edge of the boat, surveying the water. Dan grabs him by his clothes and hauls him into the sea. The two men struggle under the water. As a shark swims up to them, Dan pushes Tony towards it. The shark opens its mouth wide, and Tony is devoured. Desperately swimming to the side of the boat, Dan manages to scramble on board. Quietly and discreetly, Dan maneuvers along the side of his boat, then climbs on board Kane's larger vessel.
Come celebrate with me.
I'll be out there in a minute.
Dan continues to cautiously work his way round the boat. On deck, Kane's girlfriend pours out three glasses of champagne.
Hey, where's Tony?
I don't know. Haven't seen him.
Hey, Tony. Come down for some champagne.
Hey, Kane! We're gonna get away with this. This one's for
Clint. Hey! Come on!
Brooke strikes Kane's girlfriend. She topples overboard. Ripping her hand free from Kane's grip, she disappears from sight.
I can't hide from Kane anymore, baby. I gotta go take him out. Hey, wait here, I'll be back.
He kisses his wife before creeping across the deck in his attempt to find Kane, who is inside a cabin, arming himself with a shotgun.
Come on, Dan, you want to play? Let's play. Let's play hide and seek.
As Kane stalks the deck, Dan emerges from his hiding place. He climbs over the side of the boat and hangs from a rail out of view. With his gun at the ready, Kane looks menacing, dressed all in black. He searches for Dan, looking along the opposite side of the boat.
You know, Dan, this is your own damn fault. You couldn't just take the money like everybody else, could you?
Kane wanders over to the other side of the boat. As he looks over the edge, Dan pulls him into the water. Immediately, the sharks are on the prowl. Dan resurfaces, gasps for air, then anxiously swims back towards the boat. The sharks in hot pursuit. Dan, back on board the boat, races to the control room, Brooke at his side. Kane reaches the side of the boat, clutching at the sharks as they surround him in the water.
Okay, hang on, baby. We're gonna put some room between us and those sharks.
Dan's attempts to escape are hampered as the cage in the water impedes their progress. Towing it in the water puts a strain on the boat. Smoke starts to billow out of the engine.
No, that's not good. That's all she wrote. Come on, little boat, right now, little boat.
Kane continues to fight off the sharks with his fists whilst clinging on to the side of the boat. Dan and Brooke make their escape on a small motorboat. On shore, Kim has a surfing lesson from her new boyfriend.
Make sure you don't get too far forward. Come back a little bit. There you go. Right there's good. Now, you'll be facing this way, right? The wave's coming.
Okay.
And when a wave comes, I'll tell you when it's coming. And when a wave comes, I'll tell you when to paddle.
All right.
Now, what you want to do is just paddle as deep as you can. Take your arms down in the water.
Okay.
When you feel your momentum, start to take you forward. I'll give you a little push.
Okay.
Make sure you don't want to get too far forward. I'll make the middle of the board go down. There you go. Get that thing.
My boat's gone. So is Kane, Marcus. Clint's dead.
What?
What the hell happened?
I don't have time to explain. We gotta do something.
Clint!
The swarm is still out there. A lot of people are gonna die if we don't do something. Come on!
Hey,
what
hang on.
Is it, Philip?
It's Professor.
Philip, I don't know what happened out there, but the swarm, it's breaking up.
What the heck did you guys do out there? Professor says the swarm is dispersing.
Can you put the phone on speaker so we can all hear it, please?
All right, sorry.
There are three distinct swarms visible now.
They're headed toward the coast. We've got to prevent them from reaching the populated areas.
I've narrowed the satellite search to look for phosphorus traces. It's working. Those sharks have ingested so much of the toxin, I can track them easily from here.
Have they come in here, take a swim in that stuff, and attack anything in sight?
They'll be all over the beaches.
And more will be coming all the time. No one will be safe.
What can we do to stop it?
The largest of those swarms is making its way to the pier. The two others are headed for different beaches. The first is Spivey Point.
Spivey Point, that's the surfing spot. There'd be kids all over that place.
The second is converging on a spot a few miles north, near the old church.
The baptism. There'll be hundreds of people there, Bess.
We'll do what we can, Professor.
Philip,
the area around the pier will be the most intense area.
All right, we split up. I'll take the power plant. Give me that.
Pier.
All right, I'm going to go to Spivey Point. Can you get to the pier?
Of course, I love you.
I love
you too. Whoa! Everyone's gonna need one of these.
That's okay.
What are they?
Put into the water, pull the trigger, the sharks go away, press blue to recharge.
Let's go.
Brothers and sisters, we are blessed with yet another beautiful day, a gift from our benevolent Lord. With peace in your hearts, I ask that you follow me down to the shore. Let us join hands in the sea and embrace our faith together.
Lux cuts the ribbon tied across the entrance to the pier, marking its official opening. Dozens of people head down the pier to a marquee positioned at the end.
You okay? You're doing great. When I first started, it took me weeks to get to the point where you're at. Can you feel it?
Feel what?
The wave's calling out to you. That's that freedom I was talking about.
Yeah, I think I do feel it a little.
Come on, let's go back out. Get one of the big ones.
Oh my God, that's too far.
This is just a state of mind. Come on, stay out easy.
Hey, wait up! Wait up!
Nice turnout. Congratulations.
Congratulations to you, gentlemen. I want this hold off for a second on your hedonistic tendencies. I got a private yacht docked out here, and in a few minutes I'm going to take us all on a spin around the entire bay here.
It's quite an impressive show, Lux, but I think I'll be even more impressed when we start to show a real profit.
Come, step forward now. The cleansing awaits.
Pastor Herman, will you help me in?
Yes. It would be my privilege.
Well,
Allow me to introduce the man responsible for breathing new life into Full Moon Bay. A big round of applause, please, for Hamilton Lux!
Take it your time. Just take a second.
Crowds of people are enjoying swimming in the ocean. Kim and Chris are paddling out to sea on the surfboards, unaware that sharks are lurking in the waters beneath them.
If you don't have the will, the infinite will, and the compassion, and the patience that you people have shown me, you got nothing. I'm gonna stand here right now. I'm going to applaud you. I'm going to applaud all of you. God bless you all.
Philip and Amy pull up in a silver Jeep at a crowded beach.
Got it. The swarm's going to be here any minute.
All right, hurry up.
Blessings on this glorious day.
What are you talking about?
Listen to her. He's been polluting the bay for months with a toxin designed to wipe out the fishing industry.
What? We're all in danger.
You've got to get out of here now!
Adults sitting in large inflatable rubber rings bob about on the surface of the water, unaware of the sharks circling beneath them. One by one, they are plucked from their rings. Kim and Chris panic as they notice the sharks. They seek the refuge of a small, upturned rowing boat in the water beside them. Brooke arrives in her car at her allocated beach, then runs across the sandy beach to the sea.
I'll take care of her. You get the others out of the water. I'll take care of her.
Please help! Please help!
Brooke dives into the sea. Swimming under the water, she comes face to face with the sharks. As one whips past her, she drops the gun. Scrambling down to the seabed, she manages to retrieve it, firing it in all directions as the sharks continue their relentless attack. On another beach, the sharks weave in and out of the pier's wooden supporting pillars. Ramming the structure, the pier jolts, knocking Hamilton Lux and the young woman into the water below. The pair trade water as the sharks swim terrifyingly close.
Too late. Swarm's already here.
What are we gonna do?
And the chance those people have is if I get down there with a pulse gun.
Well, I'm going with you.
No, you're not.
There's too many of them. You can't do it alone.
I hate when you're right. Okay.
Here.
All in. Careful, okay?
You too.
Philip kisses Amy, then they both jump off the pier into the water. Holding their pulse guns, they bravely swim underwater towards the sharks. Successfully firing their guns at groups of sharks, they head off in the opposite direction. Several more sharks appear dangerously close to Philip. One brushes past his hand, knocking the gun free of his grip. Amy aims her pulse gun at them, but misses, hitting Philip. His body judders with the impact, then floats lifelessly in the water. Amy's horrified. As she reaches the surface of the water, she swims over to Philip's body, floating face down in the water. She lifts his head out of the water and starts to swim him back to the shore. Once on the beach, she administers CPR.
I owe more than that.
They kiss. Professor Girdler studies his computer screen, tracking the progress of the shark swarms.
Thank heavens they've done it.
The monitor shows the swarms heading away from the coastal areas and then disappearing altogether. Back on the beach, Brooke tends to the wounded. Paramedics tend to the injured on the beach. Chris has his arm around Kim. Her parents sit on a nearby rock, recovering from their ordeal. Philip is being checked over by a paramedic. Amy stands with him, a towel draped over her shoulders.
Oh, you okay?
I think so, yeah. No flirting with the paramedics, Mom.
Oh, Philip.
Well, aside from a mild concussion, I got a clean bill of health.
Head as hard as yours, I'm surprised anything happened at all. Heard from Girdler?
A few minutes ago. The rest of the sharks are dispersing and heading out to sea. I think we're going to be okay. I just wouldn't recommend anybody swimming here for a while.
I wouldn't worry about many people swimming here for a long time.
Well, we should get you home. I think you're going to need some bed rest.
Ooh, I like that idea.
The end.